This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
To the chief, and the chief is Joe Biden, and oh boy, his approval ratings have hit an all-time low right in the middle of this Ukraine-Russia crisis. So what do we mean by all-time low? You don't get to the 30-somethings very often, but this new polling from the Washington Post and ABC News found that just 37% of Americans approve of Joe Biden, the job that he is doing. That's a new low for the president, a little more than 1 year plus into the office. A majority of adults, 55%, in fact, say they disapprove of Biden's job performance. This is in front of his State of the Union address while the world watches what's going on in the Ukraine and the tanks that are rolling up on Kyiv, the capital city in the Ukraine, and what's happening with the people who are fleeing. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us here on this show. So let's talk about our prez for a second here. It looked like Biden was going to have that very rare these days, bipartisan support, because most of those on the Hill largely condemned Vladimir Putin's attack on the Ukraine and supported U.S. sanctions against Russia. But there was some backlash last week from several congressional leaders for not going far enough on sanctions immediately. So not waiting, doing it immediately after Moscow launched that full-scale invasion on the Eastern European neighbor's doorstep, the Ukraine. So there were Republicans who criticized the timing of sanctions on Russia's financial institutions and wealthy elites, including Biden's decision to join European allies in sanctioning Putin directly as just too late. And others are criticizing him for not targeting Russia's oil and gas supplies, although that is happening thanks to BP and Shell and some others. So where are we at when it comes to the Ukraine? I think the big thing that's being talked about so much, because we're seeing the satellite images of it, whatever search engine you have, you can go and you can see the same pictures that we've all been seeing, the 40-mile-long Russian military convoy that is right there around Kyiv. And so what does that mean? That it is massive and it is just closing in on that capital. At least 400-plus people have, civilians, have been reported hurt or killed in the Ukraine. Many are just trying to escape. There's been waves of people, luckily, that have been able to get out, and there are a lot of people that are helping them at border crossings, thank goodness, with a place to stay, including Airbnb that has temporary housing for many, or cots in a gym or whatever it might be, warm meals and clothes, because people fled with just the clothes on their back and children in their arms or holding their hands or whatnot in trying to make the great escape. But we're looking at what happened with the bombardment. It's, you know, early in the morning in Kyiv right now. That's the brilliance of this show not being repeated. So what is happening as you're listening to me, and even if you listen to this at some point later in the day, you've got a residential area in the second largest city that has been hit with rockets and at least 9 people dead there, and they're intensifying. Russia is intensifying their assault on the capital, because if Kyiv falls, I mean, really, so goes the Ukraine most likely. So this is a sixth day of Russia's invasion, and that convoy that stretches from the Antonov Air Base, which is about 17 miles from the center of Kyiv, to an area just near the Belarus border is what is particularly frightening. And the fact that now there's these war crime accusations. The Ukrainian President Zelensky accused Russia of war crimes for bombing one of the second biggest cities there. He said that in 5 days, 56 missile strikes and 113 cruise missiles were launched into the Ukraine by Russian forces. He also said on Monday that Russian forces brutally fired jet artillery, and it clearly was a war crime. He's called for a complete closure of the sky for Russian aircraft and missiles. Do you think that will hold up? So the casualties and the killings in the last couple of days is really tagged at about 406 people that have been hurt or killed, 102 within the past few days, but more than 500,000 refugees have fled the Ukraine. And the good news there is there's so much help on the other side, thank goodness, with people around the world that are trying to do whatever they can to donate clothes that they hope will get there, or money, or whatever it might be, as people are really stuck when they come across the borders because they have really nothing with them. And then the sanctions that are now biting, the accusations that they weren't strong enough in the beginning, I agree. It just seemed like we were kind of stepping into it, hoping that Russia would back off, and that didn't happen. So Russia is scrambling because they've got a financial meltdown on their hands. The economy was slammed by crushing Western sanctions. People are lining up and trying to get their rubles, which have tanked, out of the bank. The ATM machines empty all over the place. Putin held crisis talks with his top economic advisors, supposedly, after the ruble did really bounce to a record low against the U.S. Dollar. So we're seeing that sporting bodies are punishing Russia. FIFA and the EUFA have banned Russian national football teams and clubs from competition, and World Rugby suspended Russia and Belarus from all international rugby and cross-border club activities, of which there were a lot of them. The International Tennis Federation said it's not going to hold any events in Belarus this year. Normally, they do that, and that brings in fans and brings in money, more importantly. So that's some more of what's being heaped on the Russians. Shell and BP, who had many joint deals with Russia, are pulling out of all of those deals, and that is certainly affecting Russia, their bottom line, as well as those two companies who are losing billions, but they say that they cannot watch the deplorable acts and continue to do business in Russia and with Vladimir Putin with the kind of things that are going on. So, you know, this is what we're looking at this point. You know, there's been stiffer than expected Ukrainian resistance, and Russia's own logistical missteps have really kind of messed up Russia's advance, thank goodness. And that's given us a little bit of optimism. But with the intelligence we do have, I mentioned that big convoy, that's not good. And, of course, Russia will regroup, and it looks like they have, and figure out a way around what has initially happened. A so-called second wave is going to be much different. So I think this next day is going to be tough and very, very frustrating. And I fear the worst is probably yet to come for Kyiv at this point. Stay with us. A conversation with a very interesting author on the flip side.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Kristen Block joins us now. She's in our virtual green room. I want you to hear the title of her book that really just grabbed me. Scatter Seeds of Kindness, Poems and Short Stories About Life, Love, and Things That Shape Our Souls. Oh, Things That Shape Our Souls really, really, really stuck with me. So beautiful title and such incredible words by Kristen Block. So we're very happy to have her with us. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I am happy to have you, and I want to make sure that everybody knows, when you look her up and you go to get her book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, it's K.A. Block, K.A. Block. So tell me about your road to poetry in the first place.
So I had started writing when I was very young. I mean, we're talking like 5, 6 years old. I realized very early on that like my family would always interrupt me when I would speak. But if I wrote something down and I came to them and I said, I have something to read to you, then I had their attention and everybody would listen. So I learned very early on to start to put my words on paper and I could get people's attention that way. So from there, I just, you know, discovered that I kind of had this talent for writing poems, and I would sit my family down every couple of nights and be like, hey, this is my newest poem. And that just continued on throughout my life. You know, as I got a little bit more life experience, the poems got a little bit more personal, you know, dealing with like my father's death and, you know, just different experiences that I had had. And then I kind of put that book away and I forgot about it. And last year during the, or 2020 during the COVID lockdown, I found this book of poems when I was going through a drawer, you know, trying to find a project to keep myself busy. And I found all these poems and I thought, some of these are, you know, pretty good. Maybe I should do something with these. And I started to type them up and then from there decided to put them out into a book, which was my first book that I released in 2020 called Walk Through a Field of Flowers. And in that book, I had listed out the inspiration and the motivation. I kind of just did a little introduction for each poem because poetry can be so interpretive that I felt like maybe people might want to hear my thoughts behind the inspiration. And I got a lot of feedback from people that they really enjoyed reading, like my thoughts and my inspiration. You know, why did I write this poem? And then I kind of took a long hiatus from writing, and then I started writing again last year and came up with the poems for this new book and decided to follow that same format of putting down my thoughts, my inspiration behind each poem, and started to see this resounding theme of kindness that kept emerging almost in every poem that I was writing. And therefore, the title was born. And I tried not to come across in a preachy way, like, you know, I list my own struggles with being kind sometimes, where I write, you know, I could have been a little more kind in this situation, or trying to just, you know, remind people to kind of give a little bit of leeway and a little bit of kindness, you know, as we go through this life.
Boy, no kidding. And that is a great reminder. So Scatter Seeds of Kindness, I mean, that's, you've got a poem, Scatter Seeds of Kindness. Would you be gracious enough to do that for us?
I sure would, yeah. Actually, this poem is, I broke it down into two parts. So I broke it down into a little bit of an introduction, and then I carried that through the very ending of the book. So at the very end of the book is the last four verses. So I'll just go ahead and do the introduction part, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
So this is called Scatter Seeds of Kindness. Scatter seeds of kindness wherever you may go. Reach deep inside your heart and scatter them to and fro. Scatter seeds of kindness and bring a few to share. You never know when you'll find the chance to show someone you care. Scatter seeds of kindness and watch them as they bloom. A little good can go a long way to chase away the gloom. Someone may be hurting and you can plant the seed. A kind word or a smile may be exactly what they need. Scatter seeds of kindness and hope others do the same. A candle loses nothing when it shares its glowing flame.
Wow.
And that was,
I love
part
it.
One. Thank you.
And you have part two. Yeah.
I do have part two. So that's just a brief ending to the poem, and that just says, scatter seeds of kindness wherever you may go. You never know what you may take root or what magic they might grow. Walk through a field of flowers and scatter them with a shake. You never know whose life you'll touch by the seeds left in your wake.
Nice. That's a big hashtag there that I hope everybody pays attention to. Seriously, it is. And, of course, we're speaking with K.A. Block. That's her pen name that you can find this book, Scatter Seeds of Kindness, Poems and Short Stories About Life, Love, and the Things That Shape Our Souls. So you talk about these themes, life, love, and the things that shape our souls. What shapes our souls to you the most, all those things that I just mentioned in the title?
And maybe one of the main points of this book is being kind to people. I think when we're kind, when we put out that energy, it comes back to us. And in the very last verse of the part one of that poem that I just read, I mentioned about how a candle loses nothing when it shares its glowing flame. And that comes from a meme that I saw where, you know, it was like a candle loses nothing when it lights another candle. And that really stuck with me. And that's why I wanted to kind of incorporate it into one of my poems. And I was able to do it here. And I think that when we give the best parts of ourselves to others, it not only is contagious and hopefully they'll pay it forward, but I think it helps us too. And it helps us to, you know, to feel good inside and to build our soul a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. What do you hope, and you're saying it in what we're talking about, but what do you hope people take away from reading this book or any of your other books?
I hope that people remember, and this is something that I do touch on in many of my poems, that everybody is struggling with something, right? Everybody has something that they're dealing with. Sometimes we can see it all over their face. You know, it's a physical pain and we know that they're hurting. Other times they have a great big smile on their face, but they're dealing with something that we're not aware of. Maybe a sick child, a sick parent, their own illness, you know, various things. And maybe just instead of, you know, and I say this as a reminder to myself too, to be patient with people, especially nowadays. There's so many worker shortages and, you know, we get mad because we have to wait in line for 5 minutes at a store. But uh-huh. if the people that, you know, didn't come to work that day, we'd have to wait 15 or 20 minutes. So don't take it out on those people. They're there doing the best that they can. And, you know, just maybe if we can all practice a little more kindness, especially these days, a little bit more patience with each other, I think, you know, that could go a long way in somebody's day.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful conversation. Again, K.A. Block, you can pick up this book or any of her books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, as I've mentioned several times. Thank you, K.A.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. It was a great pleasure.
All right, patience. Wow, she talked about patience there, and I think patience is really tough for most people these days. I'm glad that she mentioned that. It is so true, because still wherever you go, you see that often there are signs up, help wanted, please be patient, we're doing what we can, we're short-staffed. I've seen the short-staff sign almost, I mean, honestly, in most businesses that I've gone in, a couple exceptions, I've seen that sign still. I'm seeing that because a lot of people, it was the great exodus, a lot of people, or resignation, as some people call it, a lot of people did not go back to the jobs that they had before, especially in the service industry, whether it's, you know, whether we're talking about restaurants or hotels or whatever, and that made it tougher. You walk into hotels and there aren't, usually when you have a desk and you've got three or four different places and you have people flying in or coming into hotels, a lot of times that used to be pretty quick and swift, and now it's not. And it is about patience, right? Because it's not the people that are on the front line, and how is it their fault? They're just trying to plug the gaps and do what they can. It is a good reminder. And if, you know, it's true. If you're kinder to those people, it's going to be better all the way around, right? Than being nasty, because they're the first line of defense and it's not their fault. And they do, though, have the power to put you in a better room or get you in as soon as possible. And if you throw down the nasty, yeah, that's probably not, you know, not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen for you. All right, the world, of course, I keep mentioning this, but the world's focused on the Ukraine, and so many Ukrainian families live in the United States, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in New York, in many parts around the country, and this has caused people to, you know, gasp in disbelief with what's happening and being concerned. I don't understand so much the disbelief, because I thought, you know, listen, this is so inevitable, isn't it? I mean, it's inevitable that this is going to happen. Diplomacy is not working. And, you know, what we have happening right now is 70, because this is daytime in the Ukraine, 70 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed in a Russian artillery strike that just happened a very short time ago. So there are some destroyed buildings. That's the word that we have right now. A city very close to Kyiv is getting attacked. Wow. All right, stay with us. More coming your way next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Five are dead in a shooting that took place at a California church. Among the deceased are three children under the age of 15, and their father, who is not only the suspect, but also turned a gun on himself. Sergeant Rod Grassman with the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office tells television station KTXL that there is no threat to the general public.
It seems that they all knew each other. This was not a random sort of shooting. At this point, the information that I have was a more domestic, violent sort of situation.
The shooting happened early Monday evening in the main sanctuary of the church in Sacramento. The investigation is underway. Mixed day on Wall Street Monday, the Dow was down 166 points, the NASDAQ was up 57 points, and the S&P 500 was off by 11 points. This is USA Radio News. Ukraine's second largest city has been rocked by Russian shelling. Several are dead. Dozens more were injured. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky believes Russia is trying to pressure him into concessions. Delegations from both countries met on Monday for the first talks since Russia's invasion. After several hours, the two sides said they would meet again. Meanwhile, the General Assembly of the United Nations held its first emergency session in decades to discuss the conflict. Republicans in Arizona want a judge to strike down the vote-by-mail system used by 90% of voters in the state. The lawsuit filed Friday argues that absentee voting is unconstitutional. What they want at the very least is for the no-excuse absentee balloting system adopted in 1991 to be struck down. The suit is modeled on a similar lawsuit in Pennsylvania, where a court struck down that state's two-year-old vote-by-mail law. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Nelson Foulkes to the show. Wow, what a background he has. He's a retired lieutenant colonel who served 20 years in the United States Army Medical Service Corps. After military retirement, he completed two additional careers in healthcare. When I talked to him off the air, I thought, boy, my head is spinning with the things that he's done and the people that he's helped in his career. And then I find out, too, that he was an avid cyclist for 30 years. So he was in all kinds of events in the United States and international locations. Think about this, cycling in Jamaica, Mexico, just to name a few places. He's got a master's degree in biochemistry and public administration, as well as professional certificates and all kinds of amazing things. And he has written a book that could change your life, Overcoming Adversity, Resetting Goals. Nelson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So why did you write the book? What made you decide, you know what, I'm going to write this book?
I wrote this book because of my transient living style. I wanted to leave, share my journey with my grandchildren, and we saw them very infrequently. So I start writing things down to remember so that they could see that. And after I started, I sent a real brief manuscript to a self-publisher, and the editor looked at it and said, wow, I think you got something here, Nelson. Why don't you continue writing? So over a period of 5 years, I continued writing and included some lifestyle issues in the book as well as an autobiography of my life. And we ended up publishing in 2018. The third edition is coming out first part of March will be the third edition of the book.
Wow, congratulations on all of that. One of the things that you talked about, and I mentioned some of the different things that you've done in your life, very varied, is at the very top of it is your military career. And actually, you had an interesting twist in how I think you helped other people and what happened to earn the rank that you earned before you retired. So explain what happened in the military and how you were held back and what it took to get that title that you deserved.
First, how I got in the military was through ROTC at college. I had a 2-year obligation to serve on active duty. I was a reserve officer. I went to graduate school and planned to become a chemist, but that didn't work out, so I decided I would go on active duty and serve my 2 years. I served 17 and a half years on active duty as a reserve officer. When I came up for promotion for lieutenant colonel, I went up 3 times, and at the 3rd time, if you don't make it, you automatically discharge if you're a reserve officer. So I was discharged in 1975. I didn't know what to do. I was scared, upset, and my friends and family gave me some advice. So I filed a lawsuit in 1976 against the military reserve, Army Reserve Military Promotion Board. 1979, I joined a class action group with other affected officers. In 1980, we prevailed, and the court ruled that the Reserve Officer Promotion Board for Lieutenant Colonel was invalid. They reinstated us all back to active duty, except at that time I had passed my scheduled retirement date, which was 1978, so I was able to retire as a Lieutenant Colonel and retrieve all my retirement benefits, which was a blessing.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Going through that process had to be tough, though. Was it hard dealing with that and getting people to be on board with it in the beginning?
It was just myself filing against the promotion board. But when I found out 2 years later there were other effective officers, then we shared information and became part of a class action suit. We hired a law firm out of Baltimore, Maryland, who was very, very good. And he took 5 years. He took a while to get to the court. And then once the court made a ruling, they did not give us any relief. So we had to go back to court and get relief. So we got relief by 1982 and was able to retire. For those who needed to retire, those who had passed their retirement date, of course, passed their retirement date and were retired.
Yeah, wow. So you do that and then all the things in between that happened as well. And on the fun side, the cycling. How'd you get into cycling?
I got into cycling. Actually, part of my family relationship with children when we lived in San Francisco, the children were cycling. So I did a little cycling there. But when I moved to Fresno after I was out of the military, I got into cycling and got into a cycling club and started cycling for charity events. And I continued that. So when I moved to Southern California, I joined a well-known Riverside Bicycle Club. I started cycling with the club and continued to enter into events. Cycling, for example, from Riverside to San Diego, cycling throughout California, all parts of California. 1 year, I decided to go to the East Coast during the change in seasons for the leaves. And I went there and cycled for about a 3-day cycling event in that part of the country, and was able to enjoy the change in leaf colors because we don't get much of that here in California.
Yeah, I bet not, definitely. So your book, Overcoming Adversity, Resetting Goals, tell us something that we'll find out in the book about resetting goals. How can we do that?
We can do that by, first of all, not allowing our circumstances to define our worth. And if we have a goal we should pursue that at all costs, do whatever it takes. And I was able to use a toolkit that included, I was very tenacious, I was using a toolkit that propelled me to do whatever I needed to do to accomplish my goal.
And that helped you do the things that you did, right? Because you had the toolkit that you could go to, like, okay, this is what I need to do.
That had the toolkit, yes. Self-confidence, faith in Pope, obviously, were very important in my life because I came from a religious background, and some people may believe in that, some may not. But it was very helpful to me.
Yeah. Wow. And a key thing is that you said there is do not allow circumstances to define your worth, right?
Yes.
And in your toolkit, you've got tenacity and self-reliance and optimism and adaptability, which you showed in even the stories you just told us, perseverance. How much did perseverance play a role in your life?
It was a key ingredient because as I went through different, tried to accomplish things and went through different rejections and barriers and things of that nature, then I had to sometimes pursue different alternate pathways to get to my goal. I couldn't always go and get there on the path that I had first chosen. So being flexible, being adaptable to change your direction, find alternate ways to get to where you're going, I found very important.
Yeah, and also, too, for you, and you talk about it, don't let where your circumstances are define who you are. And you're very candid about your background and what happened in your background and some of the things that you had to deal with. You talked about being a soldier from 58 to 75. And you talk about dealing with discrimination and how you had to deal with that and ultimately what happened there. And then people that also helped you through, and even it, as a child, talking about never being certain of your father's identity, and in the Deep South, that had to be a source of something, you know, consternation to you, I would think, as a child.
Yes, it was, because I didn't, as a toddler, I didn't even know I had siblings. I didn't know that until I was age 10.
Wow.
I was meeting my siblings for the first time. And so it looks like I'm a stranger to them. Where's this guy coming from?
But then later it all worked out, right?
It worked out, but except I didn't spend much time with them. I lived in Chattanooga for about 8 years as a teenager with the family. Then I left and went to Cleveland so I could start finding a way to get to college. And I ended up at Central State University in Wilberforce.
Yeah. And it seems like, for sure, education played a big role in your life, as it does for many people, and it can open up doors, right?
It did. And one of the things that motivated me is that in my high school yearbook, I said, expand your horizon, live in a larger world, something like that. That was my comment in my yearbook. And so I was saying, okay, the way to do that is through education and travel. So I also got into travel business with my wife in 2009, and that was gave me an opportunity to go to some of the foreign countries and other continents.
Yeah. What was the best place you ever went?
The most exciting, Paris, and we didn't get to Paris. We got to Monte Carlo.
Mm.
We didn't get to Paris, but the most exciting cruise that we had was a 19-day cross-Atlantic cruise to Denmark, and that was on water for 3 days before we saw any land. So that was an opportunity to read a lot of books.
Well, that's terrific, because you wrote a really good one, too, by the way. Overcoming Adversity, Resetting Goals, Nelson Foltz. You can get it, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey,
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com. No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As we head for the exits, a couple of odds and ends for you, recapping really what is the big story, of course, Ukraine and what Russia's doing, the large Russian military convoy that hit the outskirts of Kyiv, and how the battle back from the Ukrainians is simply amazing to watch, and how people are reacting to this. For example, GM has stopped businesses too. GM has stopped exporting cars to Russia. So that's just one story in a litany of companies that have done things like cutting off business period with Russia. They announced on Friday that no more exports to the country, which is invading the Ukraine. And it's not going to be terribly costly to GM. They only sell about 3,000 cars or SUVs or whatever in Russia a year through 16 different dealer locations there. But, you know, that's out of a country of whatever it turns out to be, 6 million or whatever. But again, it's the fact that they're doing it. And then the UK oil companies have abandoned Putin, too. So Shell is getting out of Russia and they're ditching their joint ventures with Russia, including their involvement with Nord Stream 2, that natural gas pipeline that we've talked about that would go to Europe. The UK-based oil company said they're going to dump 27.5% stake in this liquefied natural gas facility, and it's 50% stake, and this is Shell again, in a project to develop the fields in Western Siberia, and then a 50% interest in exploration project that's in the northwest part of Siberia. So they're moving, they're doing it, and that's a big, big move. What the Shell CEO said is, we are shocked by the loss of life in the Ukraine. We deplore it, resulting from a senseless act of military aggression which threatens European security. So good for them to make that statement, to take that conviction, because they should, and they did it. And then big tech is cracking down on Russian state media content. So you say, well, what is that? And if you look at Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, they're all taking much tougher stances on any of that content from, again, the state media from Russia that comes out, with this pressure from European officials for the big tech platforms to do something against pro-Russian propaganda. And it is, my friends, pro-Russian propaganda, and address the escalating information war in the Ukraine and across the internet. So Facebook parent Meta is going to block access to Russian news outlets RT and Sputnik across the European Union after getting requests from a number of governments and the EU to take more steps in relationship to that. So Nick Clegg, who's the company's VP of Global Affairs, tweeted that out, saying that they were going to do that. Twitter announced that any link share by a user to a Russian state media organization's website, they'll automatically receive a label warning viewers that the tweet links to a Russian state-affiliated media website. So, you know, there you go. YouTube said over the weekend they're blocking Russian state media within the Ukraine, including RT as well. So these are moves that should be made, and good. They're moves that were made. So in the meantime, what effect does that have on our stock market? Because, you know, it's the world's biggest crap table, right? So we look at the Dow has tumbled with the Russia threat in the West, mostly lower. So it ended a big two-day win streak for the markets. Investors, of course, are worried about the crisis. They're worried about rising oil prices, broader inflation pressures, all of that. So all the major indexes, which is what the stock market is made up of, fell 3%, more than 3% during February. That's their second straight month of losses. The Dow was down about 170 points. The S&P was down 0.3%. The Nasdaq, 0.4%. And this was as the stocks settled after the trading day. And it can change, you know, after hours, and then once you jump back, of course, in the next day. But these are all signs pointing to this is what we expect to happen because of the megalomaniac Putin and his asinine assault on the Ukraine. And I'm glad, in whatever way it takes, businesses, etc., people to fight back. And people are fighting back, and so many people across the world are heartbroken by what they're seeing in the Ukraine, and they're reaching out in any way they can. A couple of bucks, trying to figure out where they can send clothes, do whatever it is that they can do to be a part of this and help in whatever way possible. And I know many of you have sent me emails talking about things that you've done, whether it's donating to the UN or what they're doing globally for the Ukraine, or some other organization where you know that these badly needed kits of hygiene and food and whatever are getting into the hands of people that absolutely need them. So bravo, right? Yeah. On a lighter note, I was thinking about all of you as I just made pancakes the other night. And, you know, it was that breakfast for dinner thing. Do you all ever do that? I think it's the best. Like, guess what? It's breakfast for dinner. So IHOP, it's a brilliant marketing thing. IHOP does National Pancake Day, and that's coming back on Tuesday. You get a free short stack of buttermilk pancakes, when you go into IHOP. Now, of course, it's so smart on their part, right? Because people will go in and order other things. But if you go in and order other things, you still get the pancakes. I don't know. I think that's pretty good. I mean, any day you can go and have a free pancake or two has to make you smile, right? It's got to be a good thing, right? You only get one per person, so they're not going to let you just gorge on it. But anyway, it is a pancake deal. And there are probably other places that are doing the same thing, that are
having Tuesday specials or whatever. And some of that could be tied to Mardi Gras, too, by the way, because, yep, it is Mardi Gras time. And so that's what happens with, you know, that's what happens with Mardi Gras. All right. I'm going back to the what's happening in the Ukraine, and the Ukraine has created kind of an army of civilians to hack Russian websites. So, you know, we keep hearing about what are the cyber crimes or cybersecurity problems that we're going to all have because of what's going on with Russia invading the Ukraine. Well, the Ukrainian government has asked civilians to get involved. They did that online. And so the Ukrainian Minister of Digital Transformation, you got to love that title, he put an all call out this weekend asking for people with digital talents to join the IT army. So 237,000 people responded. They joined a channel on instant message service Telegram where organizers have posted tasks encouraging members to use any vectors of cyber and DDoS attacks, period. You know, distributed denial of service, whatever they can do to render websites unreachable by flooding them with so much traffic, they're effectively taken offline. That's what you do. You crash it. And so they've got so many people, and they're targeting, you know, the Russian government, business, banking sites, news outlets, you know, you name it, and they've got the list, and they're rolling with this, and I think it's a brilliant thing to do. I mean, there's the digital warfare, and with what's happening with Russia and what they're doing, I mean, that's the perfect way, you know, to respond. Now, of course, the Ukraine doesn't have the same kind of cybersecurity capabilities as countries like ours, the United States, or even Russia, who's invading them, but it is a growing hub for tech talent. I saw something in the Washington Post that the country exported $6.8 billion in IT services in 2021. That's a 36% increase from the prior year. So they were on that bar of pushing it even higher. And they definitely have people that can implement and do things to pull down Russian sites and whatnot. So of everything that I've heard, I think that's one of the more brilliant moves. That's, you know, that's for sure. Absolutely. So because we are like kind of out of the pandemic, can I say that? It's like an endemic now. Are we feeling good about things? People are showing up for the Mardi Gras parade happening on Tuesday. Yeah. People are starting to book vacations to go to places where they think they're going to be able to go and hang out. And remember, it was all about RVs and tents and all that kind of stuff. When we were in the middle of the pandemic, I don't think I've ever hiked so much in my life, just to get outside and be in different places. And it was really wonderful. I have no idea how I did it. I'd like at one point, it was Robber's Cave in Oklahoma. I climbed up like the face of it like that. If I showed you all a picture of it, it was shocking. I don't know how I did it. I guess my nephew was a big help in that case, you know, in that sense. But it was really, really, really crazy. All right, a shout out. So, you know, more people are taking vacations. So if you're going to book something, what I was going to tell you is airlines are saying they're starting to see the flow increase. So book them now so that you get that vacation. And quickly, one last thing, a big high five to Airbnb. They're offering free housing to 100,000 refugees from the Ukraine. Woohoo! That's what they're going to do. They say they're going to focus on temporary stays for people in crisis. They're partnering with resettlement agencies and nonprofits to facilitate those stays. So again, high five to Airbnb. High five to all of you too as well. Thanks for listening to this show. Make it count, everyone. Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books
just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.